So what's your favorite Christmas tradition?
Definitely Christmas Eve taco night.
Yes, the great O'Donnell Christmas tradition of Christmas Eve tacos.
On Christmas Eve.
So your favorite Christmas tradition, just to be clear, is not a Christmas Eve street fight.
No, gotta be tacos.
Well, we'll be talking about a street fight instead.
Okay. Well, we both know how much I love golf.
Oh, yeah.
But one freak takes his golf game to a whole new level.
Ooh.
We'll show you that one.
All right, and we've got a new way to make Christmas cookies that might make you toss your cookies.
Ooh, all that and more coming up on this week's episode of the Florida Freak Show.
Hurry, hurry, hurry! Ladies and gents, boys and girls, step right up for the Florida Freak Show!
Welcome back to the Florida Freak Show. I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell.
And if you've ever read a Florida news story online or seen a Sunshine State newscast, you know that Florida's greatest export are weird stories about the people who live and play here. And we have a few of those stories to share with you in 2021, don't we?
Of course we do. And happy 2021.
Happy New Year.
And a big thanks to everyone who listened to our year in review episode last week and to those who voted to make that episode happen.
Thank you.
We're super psyched to be starting a whole new year of weird Florida stories.
That's right.
As always.
Ripped from the headlines.
Correctamundo. The first one comes to us from Sarasota Herald Tribune. It's been a rough few weeks for brand spanking new Sarasota City Commissioner Kyle Batty.
Oh.
Just minutes before his swearing-in ceremony back in November, the commissioner was told that he had tested positive for COVID.
Uh-oh.
Well, not to be outdone, December had some fun in store for the commissioner as well. A 12-second video on Instagram shows him getting beat up by multiple men outside a Sarasota restaurant on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Of course, there are conflicting reports, as always. A friend of Batty says that a group that included 4 men, 2 women, and 2 small children walked by him and made some snarky comments. And when he asked why the disrespect, the men in the group turned on him.
Oh.
Batty says he came to his friend's defense and got hit. But another witness says that Batty removed his jacket and told them something along the lines of, I'll bleep you up, or I'll knock you the bleep out.
Oh.
I think you can guess what the bleep is,
okay.
Right?
We'll use our imagination.
So Batty's not talking, except to say that he did lose his city-issued cell phone after the attack.
Oh, no.
Sarasota police are investigating.
Well, first, you know it's not a crazy Florida night unless you've, one, lost your phone.
Oh, so true.
Or destroyed it in some fashion.
You've done that a few times, haven't you?
I do have some personal experience with that. It seems as if it's not really that crazy of a night unless one of those two things happens.
Yeah. You know, this whole thing is a little bit strange.
Yeah.
First of all, where in Florida do you find a restaurant that's open at 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve?
I don't know of one.
Because we have tried before to,
sure,
to,
yeah,
eat, to have a cocktail on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Like at 4 o'clock, the sidewalks roll up.
Yep. If you haven't eaten dinner by 6, you're out of luck.
You're stuck at home because, yep, everything is closed.
Yeah.
You're eating popcorn and Pop-Tarts for dinner,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
It's like New Year's Eve here.
Yeah.
We, you know, did not have a really thrilling New Year's Eve year, as
no,
I don't think most people
no
did. But typically in our area, at least,
yep,
in Florida, 12:00 midnight, fireworks, excitement, woohoo,
happy
New Year,
year,
people.
Get
kissing
out
in the streets.
Yep.
Yeah. And then get the heck out.
12:01
p.m. The sidewalks roll up and
moving,
you hear nothing
along,
but crickets.
Nothing to,
yeah,
see here.
Yeah, it's the craziest thing.
We're
so,
all done celebrating.
So I'm super suspicious of any fight outside a restaurant on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it seems a little odd. And I will say that, you know, as a person in his position, my dad always taught me to walk away from a fight, especially if it looks like it's going to get out of control. And he should have definitely used that advice because somebody in his position,
yeah, don't be a hero, man.
Out of hand in no time. And it doesn't take long for those phones to come out and like show off what,
right,
happened. Just because you're,
you
lost your phone doesn't, yeah, mean everybody else isn't ready to capture somebody like fighting a family.
So now the police report on this is fairly heavily redacted.
Yeah.
But if you kind of read between the lines a little bit, the blacked out lines.
Sure.
The commissioner may have dropped one or two don't you know who I am's to the crowd.
I don't think there's a phrase on earth that bothers me more than that one. Yeah.
Do you realize who you're dealing with right now?
And I wonder if that's ever really worked.
I don't think so.
Who am I dealing with, mister? Oh, I don't know. It's like, I'm the person in charge here.
Yeah, so other sketchy details.
Oh, yeah.
So in the article, the full story, it says, you know, that the group threw a little shade at the commissioner's friend.
Yeah.
And the phrase that they said, and this just puzzles me, make way for the Smurf.
Make way for the Smurf.
Oh, everybody, make way for the Smurf. I don't know what kind of insult that is. Is this some sort of millennial insult that I'm just not aware of right now? Like, there's no context in the article. It doesn't say, you know, if the guy is short.
Yeah.
If the guy is blue.
Right.
If the guy's wearing nothing but a nightcap and clam diggers. Isn't that what Smurfs wear?
Yeah. And now I'm starting to wonder if the bleeps that they put in the report are actually...
I'll Smurf you up.
I'm going to knock you the Smurf out. It's too bad he didn't say that. It would have really kind of
just made brought it work the whole thing home.
Yeah, come on. It's like, and it makes you feel like I'm kind of in the joke. And that's just it. When you're a public official or a public figure, you really need that thick skin and that ability to walk away much more so than other folks. And I know it's tough to do that in certain situations, but believe me, it's like, no, it's just a no-win situation.
It really is.
You can't do it. It's like, and when you've gone through the gauntlet of Florida politics, you probably feel like you can like wrestle a gator. It's like, I can do whatever I want at this point, but you really need, no, not going to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our second story comes to us from clickorlando.com. Florida Highway Patrol got an interesting call on Christmas week. Someone in a van on I-75 near Tampa was throwing golf clubs at nearby traffic.
Oh.
FHP caught up to the van and pulled it over, and that's where they met Jonathan Day, who then got out of his van and confronted the trooper with a golf club.
As you do.
The trooper asked him to disarm himself of the club, which he did. But then as the officer tried to take Day into custody, Day punched him.
Yeah.
The official report says that the trooper then deployed his taser effectively and subdued the driver.
All right.
Day was arrested for throwing a deadly missile from his vehicle, resisting arrest, battery on law enforcement officer, and possession of controlled substances.
I am never a proponent of throwing things into traffic. Mm-mm. That's not a bad idea. But I really don't understand why you would throw golf clubs into traffic. And I'm thinking of it from an expense factor. Those things can get very expensive.
They can be quite
pricey.
They are
not cheap.
Even if you have like the Walmart set, still not cheap.
I mean, you're talking about, I'm just ballparking it in my head. You're talking about if it's like, even if it's not a decent set of clubs, you're talking about between $40 and $300 per club to throw these at people. That just doesn't seem like a good return on your investment.
Now, having worked at Goodwill for some time.
Yeah.
Golf clubs are a frequently donated item. So you get a good deal on a golf club at a thrift store. It does not say in the article whether these were...
We're not thinking this whole thing through. He might have stopped by the Goodwill, cleaned them out.
These could have been gently used.
Gently used,
pre-owned clubs.
Pre-loved.
Previously loved. Yes. Absolutely. You've done a little... I mean, you love golf.
I love to golf. Any chance I get.
Have you done any golf club throwing?
Oh, yes. I mean, we all, you know, lose our tempers from here and there. I probably have thrown one, you know, just like on a bad swing on accident. You know, it's not hard to do.
Speaking of which, I do recall a story about a friend of ours doing that.
Oh, yes.
You were playing golf with him.
Yes. So, yeah, we were out with some buddies and enjoying the golf course on a beautiful Florida day. And, yeah, one of our friends who doesn't play golf all that much but just wanted to go for the fun, he took a pretty big swing from one of the tee boxes. I'm pretty sure he didn't hit the ball that well. Maybe took another swing at it, and the club just went flying out of his hand and onto the roof of a nearby house. And this house was not that close. It's one of those things where it's like, it went really high up into the air.
Oh, geez.
Oh.
I mean, better the roof than a window.
Yes. Oh, completely.
I wonder how long it took the homeowners to notice that there was a golf club on their roof, or if this was even the first time.
It might not have been the first time. I mean, these people do live close to a golf course, so they probably are used to getting golf balls.
Right.
Yeah. You know, in and around their yard, maybe not golf clubs.
So I think personally that that is a person who was listening to their golf instructor's lessons.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have taken some golf lessons in my day,
which have
not improved my game in any way, shape, or form.
I beg to differ. I think they've been a good help.
But
they're always
one
a good
of
help.
The instructions that they always give you is to hold the club gently,
mm-hmm.
as though you have a baby bird in your hand.
Yeah.
Don't squeeze the club. Don't get a death grip on the club.
Right.
Just hold it gently.
Yeah.
And then when you swing, if you're holding it gently enough, that club will go flying.
Right. Or if you...
Not that I know from experience.
Yeah. If you ground the club, it's going to jostle it just enough for it to go flying in the air. And it's so true. You really do have to hold the club. Like, we're not trying to give free golf tips on this podcast.
And believe
all of a sudden.
Me, I am not the person that you want golf tips from.
But it's true. Like, as a former baseball player, it's also something that you want to do when you're hitting, too. You want to hold it very carefully, because you don't want to squeeze, because squeeze leads to tense muscles, and you want to be loose as you can possibly be.
I feel like we've gotten way too serious right now.
Well, I'm gonna make it a little less serious, and I'm gonna come up with a couple. I'll tell you about a couple of things I would throw instead of a golf club. Not that I would throw things at oncoming traffic, but if I were to, maybe throw some umbrellas.
Umbrellas are always useful in Florida.
We're losing umbrellas left and right all the time anyway. You know, now I'm tripping over them all the time. Why wouldn't you do that?
Okay, so what else would you throw?
I also like the idea of throwing pool noodles.
Oh.
We got pools all over the place in Florida.
Once again,
everybody can
use
a pool noodle. I don't know if you've ever tried this, but pool noodles are good ways of keeping you afloat, especially if you've got a drink in your hand.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of the point of the pool noodle,
yeah,
right?
So you got to have a couple of pool noodles for your pool. And they're like a buck, you know, if you go to the Dollar Tree.
So are you advocating like standing on an overpass and just throwing pool noodles
I'm
down?
Just saying, I may not be pulled over necessarily for throwing pool noodles. I might just get on. I
it
just
would
might
not
be a viral
considered
video.
A deadly missile.
It might not be. Yeah. It just might be a lot of fun.
Or a non-lethal missile, perhaps.
Yes. Yeah.
So this whole story brings up another topic to me, which is, you know, I always thought that our area was like the golf capital of the world.
Yes.
That's what they tell us.
That's what we will. I've seen license plates that say that.
Oh, good point.
Right?
I think there are license plates
and
that say
that.
And if
it's on a license plate, it must be true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I will say, I think Naples itself, which is not far from us,
no,
has something like 90 golf courses.
Oh, yeah.
And supposedly it is,
courses.
You know, per capita, one of the highest. But
yeah.
Do you think it is the highest per capita of all the cities
in
the U.S.?
Again, I'm pretty sure that it is, but if you're asking me this question, I'm guessing you have a better answer.
Fake news.
Fake news.
It is fake news.
Oh,
I
boy.
Looked it up. Do you know who actually has the most golf courses
I do
per
not.
Capita?
Please tell me. Now, I'm waiting with bated breath.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Well, why wouldn't it? Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello.
Cincinnati, Ohio, most golf courses per capita.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
It does not. Now, Florida does, of all the states, have the most golf courses total.
Yeah.
There's like 1,200 or 1,300 golf courses in the state. Like, it's an insane number, but it's a good sized state.
Right.
And a very populated state.
Yes.
Do you know what state has the most courses per square mile?
Oh, boy. No idea. I would think it would be Florida. Maybe it's California.
Rhode Island.
Oh.
Which makes sense because it's so tiny. You'd only need like three golf courses.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
It
takes up pretty much the whole state then.
I think I heard that Rhode Island is actually smaller than Collier County,
which
is where Naples is. So...
That's pretty interesting to hear about that. I wonder if going back to the whole Cincinnati, Ohio thing, is there like some sort of connection between golf and Skyline Chili that I'm not aware of?
I don't know.
That's just weird to me, though. I for sure thought Florida had golf cornered.
The other thing that I love about this story.
Yeah.
The trooper deployed his taser effectively.
Oh, he like, certainly did.
The person who wrote this police report put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, maybe had the thesaurus.com right next to...
Maybe they're old school. Maybe they have an actual printed thesaurus.
Ooh, a Roget right there on the
Roget,
desk.
A yeah. Roget, yeah. No, as a writer myself,
right,
who dabbles in the art of writing,
sure.
I think that that is wonderfully phrased.
Yes, it's very colorful. I'm also sure that they probably used the word ascertain a couple of times.
Oh.
And that was always like, drink if you see ascertain in a police report.
Well, after reading that police report, yeah. I ascertained that the... I have nothing.
Okay. Moving on.
Moving on. So... since we've done a few Christmas week type stories, let's do another Christmassy story, even though, you know, the season's over.
Yeah, 'tis the season.
You know, it was so lovely. I feel like we just need to keep bringing it up.
Keep it up.
So the next time you snag a Christmas cookie at the office holiday party, you'll be thinking about this story.
Okay.
From the Orlando Sentinel, Python hunter Donna Khalil has developed quite a reputation for her inventive cooking.
Oh.
Which often includes the chicken of the glades, our invasive Burmese pythons.
Oh, wow.
Khalil has bagged 470 snakes since she joined the South Florida Water Management District's Python Elimination Program 4 years ago. And while python jerky is her specialty, when she's lucky enough to catch an egg-bearing female, she either cooks them up in frittatas or freezes the soft, leathery eggs to use in her Christmas cookie recipes.
Well.
The single, a single female python can lay up to 100 eggs in a year, thanks to the fact that they really have no natural predators here. But Khalil recommends anyone cooking python or their eggs, make sure to test them for mercury first.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Did I hear right? 470 pythons?
She has caught 470.
In four years. That means she's averaging like 117 pythons a year.
Look at you with the math.
Well, I did the math a little bit while you were talking about it. I was like, what is going on here? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's
like
pretty impressive.
It's like the Babe Ruth of python hunting.
As a lady, she might be the Babe Diedrichson
of
python hunting.
Good call.
But yeah, that's she's bagging a python like every 3 days.
That's insane.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider that in the whole history of the python program, there's been like 6,000 snakes caught total.
Wow.
So what is that? She's caught like 7% of them? See, I'm not as good with math. I'm completely ballparking that.
Well, you got the daily average thing pretty good. I was when you said that, I was like, I wonder if she ever went on a DiMaggio type streak where she got like 56 of them like every day in a row.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that would be impressive.
That'd be pretty impressive. People would be like, you know, the newspapers would be covering it. It's like, oh, can't she get another? Maybe she can find another python today. Who knows?
That's, is that voice?
I was just trying to do an old baseball announcer voice.
Okay.
It wasn't really working.
All right.
Yeah.
So this brings up another topic, which was late this year. I don't know. I'm still chuckling at that voice.
Yeah.
Late this last year, I should say, this year, Florida Wildlife Commission and Department of Health said that they are investigating to see if python is safe to eat in restaurants.
That's great.
Because of the mercury levels that have been detected in a lot of them, and honestly, a lot of Everglades fish and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that you have to be cautious about it, but they are already in the current tissue collection phase. And of course, they are using pythons that were captured through this python program. So, you know, if she keeps catching them that fast, we'll be through the tissue collection phase in no time.
Well, like you said, there's been like, what, 6,000 of them that have been caught or whatever. So it's already sort of along that line of being like a delicacy. So if it could be another cash cow for Florida's, like, you know, restaurant industry or something like that, they may be able to serve python if they can take care of the mercury
thing. Well, absolutely. Yeah. And so... Khalil says that the smaller pythons, because she's, you know, she catches them and she tests them for mercury herself, the smaller pythons are usually the ones that are safest to eat because they've had less time for mercury to accumulate in their systems, right?
Okay.
And you think to yourself, oh, well, a small python, That's like the Cornish game hen of pythons,
yes.
Right? I mean, you know, a little teeny tiny python.
They're so tiny. They're they so can't tiny. Be that big.
Yeah, so a small python she considers to be a one-year-old, six-foot-long python.
Okay.
So that's...
That's already still almost as big as I am. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a small python. So, you know, I think you could probably feed a couple folks with that at least. So back to the whole cookie thing.
Yes.
She's a very inventive cook.
Yes,
makes her own
obviously.
Jerky, her own sauces. Yeah, like she's Julia, a dynamo in the kitchen.
She's not just the Babe Diedrichsen. She's also the Julia Child of
well,
Python.
Babe Diedrichsen was a multi-sport star,
that's
right?
True, yeah.
I mean, multi-talented.
Yeah.
So, you know, same thing. So, you know, I would be terrified to... I don't know, crack open a python egg and realize that there was maybe a baby python in there.
Yeah, it's so much different when it's chickens and it's like a little chicken side of it. I don't know how I'd feel about finding a python.
Oh, I'd be super grossed out if that happened, too.
Well, sure. No, but I'm just trying to make a correlation
here.
Do
lady pythons lay on fertilized eggs the way chickens do?
I think they just coil around them, but I don't know for sure. Or they bury them. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I'm totally perplexed by this now.
Now we have to look it up.
So how would you feel if I made Christmas cookies with python eggs?
I would love it. I mean, it would be...
A cookie's a cookie.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I would probably take a couple into work and say, these were made with pythons.
Would you tell them before or after they ate it?
I'd tell them after.
Yeah.
No way I'm telling them before. They'll never even touch them.
Favorite Christmas cookie?
Oh, well, I mean, my favorite cookie in general is it's chocolate chip, but I would say if
you're
it's...
You're so simple.
I know,
you're so standard.
I know, but it's so perfect. There's, you know, it's simplistic and perfect. But growing up, we ate a lot of sugar cookies because you could, you know, make them in any
decorate
size that you
them.
Want to decorate them. So, yeah, they were very, very good.
They're
so,
a giant pain to decorate.
Yes. Yeah.
Just,
I would say sugar cookies.
I think I could eat sugar cookies faster than I could decorate them.
What's your favorite Christmas cookie?
I love the bourbon ball.
Oh, that's the right answer. You make amazing bourbon balls.
I love any food that you can get drunk on. And if it also has chocolate in it, I mean, that's a winner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winner, winner, python dinner.
Yep.
Ugh. So our last story tonight comes to us from NBC-2.com, right in our backyard.
Right.
We've all flaked out for a moment at a traffic light, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, just sort of droned off. Yep.
Drifted off.
Yep.
Yeah, well, a Fort Myers man appears to be particularly guilty of this offense after a sheriff's deputy watched him sleep through not one, not two, but three green lights at a Collier County intersection.
Oh, man.
Apparently, the third time was a charm. The deputy finally walked up to the vehicle and knocked on the window, at which point the driver woke up and peeled off.
Okay.
A brief car chase ensued, with the deputy finally catching up to Jimmy Blanco, who allegedly had glassy eyes, slurred speech, and smelled of alcohol.
Jimmy Blanco.
He swore he hadn't been drinking, but the beer can on the floor of his car would indicate otherwise.
Oh, that's a dead giveaway.
Blanco refused to do field sobriety testing, but was still cuffed and arrested for DUI, as well as for fleeting, like it's an enema, fleeing and eluding. Mm. Blanco, by the way, claims that he drove off because he didn't recognize the officer, who, by the way, was in a uniform.
I guess he was hoping there was somebody he would know. It's like, oh, it's Jimmy. Hey, I'm Jimmy. You're Jimmy? No, you've driven with me, so you know how bent out of shape I can get. If somebody, Well, I mean, if somebody doesn't go through the light right away, it's like, come on, why are you not paying attention? There's like 400 cars behind us. I can't imagine what I would be like if I was sitting behind somebody who was cashed out in the seat through three lights. That's like three lights equals like 2 hours, I think, that you have to wait
pretty
in traffic.
Pretty much, yeah. And that's why I am calling fake news on this story.
Another fake news. Wow.
So much fake
this
news.
This is becoming like a little trope of yours. I like it.
No, seriously, you've lived in Florida for close to 15 years now.
Yes.
We've lived in Florida for close to 15 years now.
Correct.
How long does a light have to be green before the person behind you honks their horn?
About 2 nanoseconds.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. There is no way.
It's a shade of green before they are laying on the horn.
There is absolutely no way.
Yeah.
that this guy slept through three lights without somebody honking him awake.
Well, he passed out, I think, is probably more like it. And I'm sure maybe they were laying on the horn, but he just didn't hear it, because I don't know how this... I think more than anything, what I love in this whole story is the move of somebody tapping on the windshield, and he wakes up and immediately peeling off. Like, yeah, that doesn't look weird at all. That doesn't look like you're trying to hide
not
something.
Suspicious not suspicious in the least.
Attaboy, Blanco. Nice job.
But you brought up something a second ago that, you know, it could be 2 hours to wait through three lights.
It can be.
What is it with lights in Florida?
I don't know.
I mean, when people move here, I feel like within the first month of knowing somebody after they move here, they say, what's the deal with the lights here? Why are they so long? You can easily wait 3 to 4 minutes minimum for a light to change.
Yeah.
And if you miss that light, there is a light right outside our neighborhood. And it is red for a very long time and green for a very brief time.
Yes.
And if we pull out of our neighborhood and miss that light, you are livid.
You might as well just pull out some Scrabble. You're going to be there for a while.
You're in a crummy mood.
Yeah.
And when I say you're, I mean you, specifically Corey O'Donnell, are in a crummy mood for like the next 15 minutes.
It's true.
We could be driving to the happiest place on earth and you would be like, miss a stupid light.
Well, you know, I'm trying to factor in that I'm going to make that light on, you know, 9 times out of 10. So that one other time that I miss it, I feel like I've been, it's like, I might as well not even show up because it's going to take me 40 minutes to get there now because I've missed that light. And I know, you know, that the logical brain in us both knows that, you know, the patterns of traffic and everything have a lot to do with the way that the lights work. But I swear there are so many lights around here that don't make any sense at all. Like how they work.
I feel like the Florida Department of Transportation hires all of the people who graduated from traffic planning school with a 2.0. Like, they don't want to pay the kid who got 4.0.
It's like the doctor that got all D's, you know, it's like,
exactly.
You know, there's a doctor out there like that.
He's still a doctor.
Yep. He still got the certificate.
She.
Yep.
Yeah. Still got the diploma on the wall.
Yep.
But maybe not the person that you want. Doing your
maybe not the sharpest scalpel on the tray.
Oh, I see what you did there. So, and I'm going to get to the point of this in a second. Do you remember the first TikTok video to you, like that ever you ever heard about or ever went viral?
Oh yeah, it had something to do with like the Cape Coral intersection, right?
Yeah, it was about Florida traffic and these crazy traffic lights.
So even kids that were younger that know what the TikTok is.
Yeah, it was like
they know what this
these kids
about.
Today with their tickety talk.
Yeah.
No, it was actually a really cute video.
Yeah, very
good. These kids and teenagers.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yes.
Were sitting, set up an actual card table in traffic at a red light and played a game of Uno.
Why not?
Sitting in traffic.
Yep. And it went viral.
And it went viral justifiably.
Yes.
I mean,
it was very well done.
And I might add that the intersection that everybody believes it was shot at, and I have to say when I saw it, I immediately recognized
it. We knew it
as
immediately,
well.
Yeah.
Is an intersection that I used to drive through every single night on my ride home for, I think, 11 years of my life.
Yeah.
And
you didn't want to get stuck at that intersection.
Of a 45 to 50 minute drive, usually 20 to 25 minutes of that drive was just sitting at that light.
Yeah. Wow.
So you could do it. You absolutely could do it. I love the fact that these kids who are barely out of driving school recognize
they gotta figure it out.
How ridiculously long these lights are.
They had a point and they showed it off.
Yeah. So what did we learn this week?
Well, I learned that Florida politics would be infinitely more interesting if more county commissioners would start fighting with taxpayers at their local taverns.
And befriended more Smurfs.
Oh, yes. Smurf it up.
I learned that no matter how bad your golf game is, you should probably limit your club chucking to the golf course and not to the interstate.
Good idea. I also learned that pythons are good eating and that Florida is the home of the Martha Stewart of python cooking.
Oh, it's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
And I learned that Florida's traffic lights may be long, but they are not long enough to get a good night's sleep.
Oh, no. We need more naps.
So those were our freakiest Florida finds for the week. As always, you can find plenty of other wacky news stories from across the Sunshine State on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
That's right. That's at FLA Freak Show. And while you're there, remember to follow us, like us, and share us at FLA Freak Show. And if you see a Florida story we missed, share it with us.
And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe while you're on your favorite podcast platform. And by the way, have you given us a 5-star review yet?
Have you?
No.
What?
Well, why not?
What are you waiting on?
If you've got an index finger and a heart, you've got what it takes.
I love that. Until next week, I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell. Until we meet again, remember to let your Florida freak flag fly.
Goodbye. Yeah,